Hi there. Welcome to Get On My Lawn with Ben Klein. I'm your host, Ben Klein, and I have the great luck to be able to talk with some really interesting, successful people. I pick their brains and learn what sort of thoughts, habits, beliefs, and relationships have helped them become successful, and more importantly, happy entrepreneurs. It's not every day you come across someone willing to open up and tell you the blueprint to their success, so I hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to listen in as I peel back the layers and invite some fascinating people to get on my lawn. Hello, everybody. I'm Ben Klein, and you're listening to episode 2 of Get On My Lawn. Today, I interview Ohad Ghibli. Ohad is the owner of Cleanable Solutions, a general contractor that my real estate team regularly recommends to clients and friends alike. Ohad emigrated here from Israel a little over a decade ago, and he started out working for a carpet cleaning company. He quickly realized that he wanted to go in his own direction, and he now employs a team of people that services clients all over Chicagoland. Ohad was gracious enough to sit down with me and talk about how he built his business, what helped him find his niche, and what success means to him. It's a great episode, and I hope you enjoy it. Of course, please like, share, and comment on this episode if you like it. I'd love to hear what you liked and what I can do to make the next one even better. Anyway, let's meet Ohad. Well, hello, Ohad.
Hello, hello, shalom, shalom.
Thank you very much for joining me for the second episode of Get On My Lawn. We're here with Ohad Ghibli, who is a general contractor and kind of jack of all trades. He's got a couple different businesses, so I'm super excited to ask him some questions. He works with our real estate group quite often. It's kind of our go-to recommendation for clients because he does an awesome job and he's a really good dude.
Thank you.
As well as being handsome, y'all can't tell, but he's a good-looking guy. And we're happy to have you on here, man. So thanks.
We're gonna need to add a picture to this dating, huh?
yeah, you can add to your dating profile for sure. all right, cool. Well, I know you as Ohad, who is the owner of Cleanable Solutions.
Yes.
You got your fingers in some other things as well, but we'll focus on the GC business for now, if that's all right.
Yes. This is what I'm focusing about. This is what I know to do the best, and
All right. Cool. Well, tell me about who you are, you know, where you came from, and then kind of how you ended up owning your own business. We'll dig into the details, you know, in due time, but just give us the elevator version.
I'm Israeli. Mm-hmm. I've been here in Chicago for the past about 12, 13 years. No, even more, maybe. I served in the IDF, Israeli military, for about 4.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And after the army, I came over here to America and to try my luck. I have a family over here.
Okay.
So it was a little bit easy start, and then everything is a history.
Yeah. All right. Was the plan to move here and start your own business all along, or did you just kind of come here and figured that you would just go with the flow? Like, how did it work out that you ended up owning
your
own
business? I don't really try to plan everything. Like, I like to do things, like, if I feel it, I do it. So, and then, like, I like what I do.
Yeah.
And I know I can strive for more and achieve more.
Okay. So did you work for someone when you first came here?
When I came over here first, yes, I worked for someone.
Yeah.
I used to be as a carpet cleaner.
Okay.
I worked at my uncle's business. And then I did my way up. I opened my own company. And after I opened my own company, I added more services.
Mm-hmm.
And till this day,
okay,
where I am now.
Right on. So carpet cleaner to business owner seems like quite
yes,
a jump, right?
Yes.
What, once you started working with your uncle, I imagine you got to kind of see how a business was run from behind the scenes without much risk on your part, or like how did you make that jump? You know,
you made that jump because you believe in a way that you want to do things. Like sometimes the way that you see other people do things, you don't like the way that they do. It's either with a sale, it's either with a customer service, or the clientele that you have. Like, you know, there is different clientele over here.
Right.
And then you get to a point that one day you said, okay, I don't want to work to no one anymore. I want to be to my own. I want to wake up whenever I want to wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't want to give any report to anybody. So then you start to take the risk. You know overall what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So you work in it. So you know what you can improve and what you can make better. Of course, in the beginning, it's very hard. You don't have a lot of funds. You don't money wise. It's very hard.
Yeah.
But slowly, you're doing your way up.
Yeah. So were you working both the carpet cleaning business and your own thing at the same time for a little
while? No. So at the beginning, I was in the carpet business, and then I hated it. It's like it was very, very physical work, and like sometimes the customers are complaining it's not clean enough, the stains come back. And then I transferred to air duct cleaning.
Okay.
In the air duct cleaning, I was a supreme. I have a crazy thing about it that's I have to have the best equipment.
Right.
I went and I did all the research, and nobody teach me how to clean air ducts. I just saw my friend told me, hey, this is a good business that you should go into. So I went and I started to buy one machine. And then I said, okay, this machine is not too good for me. I know that the jobs can be done a little bit better. So I made a little bit even more research. And then I went all the way to Ohio and bought a machine from over there and bring it back over here. And the machine was mounted on a 12-foot trailer.
That's the one you showed me the picture of. That's a big, that's the size of a truck, man.
Yeah, it's the size of a truck. It's way like 1.5 tons.
Yeah.
And then I did keep doing the air ducts. And then educate yourself. I used to go to courses for, it's called IICRC.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a firm that teach you how to clean carpets, how to do wood flooring and things like that. And then when I went to those courses, it's a little bit opened my mind a little bit, like what I can do.
Yeah.
So
what were the courses on?
I went to a course. It's called, like, the first one was water damage remediation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certified as a water remediation.
So these were technical courses, and
it's
just saw
technical, and it's like it's completely different language. And for me, you know, it's my second language, English.
Yeah.
So it was, I don't know how even I passed the test. Like, it was a very difficult test.
Yeah.
And I did also like hard surfaces for wood flooring and marble. And then this is what's actually give me the opening to go to all this construction, because then I started to do flooring, the hardwood floors.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's keep going and going, you know?
Yeah. All right, so you just expanded from there and the rest is history.
Yes, yes.
So that begs a whole bunch of other questions now. Like, so you started doing the air duct thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then... did the technical course kind of expanded your world a little bit? How did you get business, especially as a guy you never did a flooring job at some point. So how did you convince someone to give you a flooring job?
I started advertising.
Mm-hmm.
I opened a Google account. I used to do the Google AdWords. I used to program it so people can start calling me. I opened a new website. I used to come to a lot of halls. I used to call Google. Hey, Google, can you help me over here? I don't know how to set up this AdWords. So I used to be with them over the phone and like doing research online.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. I couldn't afford nobody to do that for me.
Yeah.
It was a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowly. And then there was a lot of bumps around on this road. Why? Because a lot of people will lie to you. Nobody wants you to succeed. And even those advertisers, like, they sell you a product, they don't stand behind it, and you just throw in your money and you never see it, you know.
So it's, you were paying for ads and not getting any return on your investment
at some point, sometimes, like, until you figure out exactly where you need to put your money in for advertising.
Interesting. And okay, so you literally just set up an online funnel, basically.
Yes, this one was with Google.
Okay.
And then, like, sometimes you're trying to find outsources. Maybe they do, you know, each person, it got its job, you know. You're real estate, this guy is a gardener, this guy is a drywaller, you know, you give the job to every person that knows exactly what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to go to advertiser, looking online, and then they get you a price quote, and then you find out that they're like, you know, all of them sometimes lie to you, so you really need to be careful with who you choose, who you work, like.
Yeah.
They try to sell you on contracts, like, for 6 months, 1 year. You need to be careful, like, what you choose and what you do. It's very...
Yeah,
there are wolves predatory. Over there. Yeah. Predators, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so you got your first flooring job just from some random person on the internet, right?
No, actually not.
Okay.
as a carpet cleaner, a lot of people knew me. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, Yohad does the carpet, Yohad does the wood floor cleaning a little bit. And then after my first job was a good, amazing sale.
Yeah.
It's like the moment that I saw this sale and I see the reward out of it, it's completely changed my mind. Mm-hmm. Completely. And then I said, okay, I must do this thing.
The reward meaning?
Money-wise.
The money, okay.
Yes. Of course, it's not just the... It's not sometimes all about the money. It's also what I like to see, the transformation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when we do kitchen refinishing now.
Yeah.
You see, like, before and after, the kitchen looks completely ugly and it's out to date.
And now it looks like it belongs in a magazine.
Yes, beautiful.
Yeah. I've seen some of the before and afters of your guys' stuff on your website, and just me seeing it in person.
Yes.
And I can see that.
Like, right now we're finishing like another, like, a very, very nice project, like, of a kitchen. It's like, it's ridiculously big. Like, there is, like, I think, like, 70 drawers and cabinets doors, 60, 70 of them.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it took us over there, like, just to paint it, it took us about 8 days straight, non-stop. Wow. Only in this kitchen, 3 guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So, I want to talk more about that, but also, I'm curious, you got your first... It was kind of word of mouth, right? Your first job.
Yes.
Outside of air duct stuff.
Yes.
And I imagine your business now is, I mean, we refer you a bunch of stuff. So is it a referral-based business now? Do you still run ads?
I still run ads, but not like in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, you have to run your business. You have to have booked. Sometimes there is week that, you know, you have a job here, a job there. Yes, but you manage with it. It's making you money, but it's not make you, like, grow.
Right.
But over time, I believe in, like, a referral business. This is what I believe. I don't believe that advertising, yes, it's good. You get new customers. But me, as a business owner, I maintain my customers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all the time. I have to have them to be satisfied and happy. If there's something's wrong, no matter what, I come and fix it until they be happy.
Yeah. And then when you say you maintain your customers, that's an ongoing, is that an ongoing process for you? Once the job is done and they're happy and there's no problems at all, are you following up with them every so often? You're sending it, like, how do you,
sometimes, do you keep in touch? Sometimes it's hard. Like, you imagine, like, you're doing like 7 jobs a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, and like it, and you, and when you have like a customer that you do in their kitchen, you constantly all day with them, like with texting, hey, what do you think about this countertop? What do you think about this color of the floor? So it's all the time. I'm all the time over the phone talking this and that. So it's a little bit hard for me. I'm still now I'm expanding, yes. But now I'm looking to expand a little bit more. Another project manager, another receptionist in the office, a little bit more. So I'm still, yes, I'm doing a lot of jobs, but I'm still looking to expand even more.
How do you find that balance between expansion and maintaining your level of like quality expectation? Because I know as a realtor, I get so busy sometimes that I don't have time to prospect for new business. So it comes in waves for me. And I try to set myself up to like have a specific time each day that I'm prospecting. But sometimes I'm too busy. And like we were talking before we turned the mic on about how this is a really busy week for you.
Yes.
So thanks for making time for me, first of all. But also like, how do you grow the business? How do you focus on growing the business if you're busy working in it?
Yeah, first of all, you need to bring more workers, and then you have more time to deal with other things.
So leverage. So you're just leveraging other people.
I'm sorry?
The way that I think of that is leverage.
Leverage?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, you got a seesaw, right?
Yes.
And it's the fulcrum's in the middle, it's equal. And
okay,
the farther away the fulcrum is, the less leverage you have to put to lift that other side.
Exactly. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. So right now I'm bringing more people. So this week I open another group, and they keep working. But then I need to bring more work.
Right. So that's gonna be kind of scary.
I can't let them sit at home. How much they can sit them there one day here, you know? But I must generate work. You must generate work all the time.
Right.
So you put a boost a little bit on advertising. But when you ask me about, I'm gonna go back to the what we talked about, how you maintain your customers. You don't really maintain them. If you did a good job, people are gonna remember you, no matter what. So yes, if I come across or something like this, like I open my picture or and I see like this customer, I don't know, jump in my head, hey, how are you? How is the kitchen? How you enjoy your kitchen? Something like that, you know, but you can't, it's not like in the real estate or in the lawyers that they keep sending postcards, hey, happy new year, happy new year, happy new year. Yes, I usually keep my a good relationship with people that I'm working in the everyday, like with my suppliers, with you, the real estate, that I'm working with you day to day, you know. It's a relationship, you know, like what I'm gonna disappear you for after 6 months, go to, hey, how's it going, you have a job for me? Or I all the time like go to the store, hey, how are you and everything. People that I'm working day to day, it's what's important for me.
Yeah,
with customers I'm with them, and like you marry with them,
right?
You marry,
yeah, you
with
are
them.
But then all of a sudden you aren't. It's weird sometimes for me, where like I'll talk to people every day for a few weeks, right? So we're getting the place ready to list. We're talking about showing feedback and,
yes,
you know, whatever. Just we're joined at the hip. And once we're under contract and inspection is done and negotiation is finished, it's like,
it's kind of this, it's quiet.
Yeah.
The stress level went lower, you know, like everybody relax, you know, it's even me, like the job is done. Sometimes like jobs that take me like, for I don't know, like a 2 week job, and there is a small problem here. So sometimes it's stressing you, you know. You want to finish the job. I can't see this house anymore.
Right, right, right. Yeah, it's like you're end of a chapter. Right?
Yeah, I hope it's everything that I'm saying over here. That doesn't sound like hypocrite or something like that.
No, this is great. Yeah. So you don't do a whole lot of marketing. You kind of let. Sounds to me like. You don't do a lot of marketing anymore. You kind of let your quality.
I did a lot before. I did a lot. I throw money like crazy. Like the beginning, like when I opened my first website, I paid so much money that, you know, it's hurt to think about this number.
Yeah, because you didn't know any better. You thought a good
but
website
now,
would get you business.
Yeah, but now nobody can bullshit me. I know what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Nobody can tell me, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. Yes, I'm gonna listen to it, and then I'm gonna research it, and then I'm gonna think about it for 2 days, and then I'm gonna give him an answer.
Right. Did you feel, was the money that you spent on that first website worth it?
I bring the money back. Yeah, you know, offer. You don't
because
you don't,
of the
you,
website.
You yeah, it's not. You don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now on past, like when I'm thinking about it now, I'm saying, oh my God, how much money I spend on it. You know what I can do with this money these days.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, you never think about it. You're happy with what you did.
Right.
Okay. You can't cry about what's spilled or, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's water under the bridge.
Yeah, you can't. So you just keep going. You know, money comes, money goes. You know, I don't chase after the money. I don't chase it. Money comes, money goes. Sometimes you make money, sometimes you lose money. In business, if you don't know how to lose, it's better for you to go out of it.
What do you mean?
It's meaning if you don't know how to lose, if you don't know how to lose money, you need to be out of being a business owner.
Right, because that's a part of the game.
It's everything is like, it's like gambling. It's not like gambling, but you don't know. You're okay, I'm putting 20,000 on advertising. I know, do I know if I'm gonna bring it like 3 or 4 times more than that? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the market's gonna be. It's like investors, it's the same thing. If they don't know how to lose, it's better for you to be like right. Go to work in the factory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Because you know you're getting paid all the time. Yeah. So, I've got one of my best friends. He does. I got you guys in touch, but he used to work for a GC who was completely 100% referral based, right?
Uh-huh.
And the guy that he worked for, he's going to be on the podcast one day, actually. He was happy. He had a good business. He didn't do any advertising. He only took the jobs he wanted to take. And my buddy, I won't name his name. He knows who he is. I'm sure he's listening. He is kind of trying to get into his own contracting business. But he can't see the space between now, where he has no business, or he's got very little business, and the point in the future where he only takes the jobs he wants to take, right? So what kind of advice would you give that guy? How do you get there? I know I know that it's one of those things where you just put your head down and hustle and hustle, and one day you're gonna wake up and see that,
Don't give up ever. You never give up. Like, even when I don't, like, I'm gonna tell you something. I was in the army.
Mm-hmm.
And my commander told me I used to be a weapon technician. I built weapons, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So after the course and everything, I went to my unit, and then like my commander is telling me, oh, test this weapon. I want to make sure it's like it's operational and everything. And you know, you just came out of the course, you know, you are good, you know about everything is working, like stuff like that. And then I look at the weapon and say, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And then he tell me, don't worry, look at me what I'm doing, and then you're gonna figure it out. But then he told me something very important. If you don't know to do something, all the time make the impression that you know how to do it. And this is something that's taken me for I don't know, since the army until this day.
Yeah.
And you know what? And when I'm coming to a hold and I don't know something, I'm focused on it, and I don't know. Sometimes it just comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
You find a solution. You all the time need to find. You will find a solution no matter what. It's gonna take you an hour. It's gonna take you 5 minutes. It's gonna take you 2 days. You will find a solution at the end if you don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same like over here with your friend. Like, he doesn't need to give up all the time. Yeah, sometimes like the funds is difficult. But you know, in my first years, I didn't have a personal car. I used to have only my truck van. Like I used to have like an old Econoline van. Mm-hmm. I used to go and date with him.
Yeah.
Like I used to pick up girls.
Like, go with in your Econoline van.
Yeah. They're looking in the van. It's like, what is it? A child molester's van?
Yeah, that's the rap thing. All right. So did you realize at some point, you know, at some point you got your personal car. You had your van and your car, right?
And I didn't have a car. I have only this van. I used to go with it everywhere. I used to go groceries with it. Mm-hmm. I used to go to dates with it. I used to do everything with it. But it was my baby.
Yeah. So then at what point did you know, like, oh, I'm gonna get myself a car too? Like, was that the point in time where you're like, I'm doing it right? Or
yeah, when I got a car, I said, okay, first of all, you need to build your bank account. Mm-hmm. First of all, I'm kind of a person that's, if I don't have money, I don't buy. I have money, I buy. Mm-hmm. No credit card, no nothing, no bullshit like that. Mm-hmm. So when you buy yourself a car, you know that you settle in, you have a steady job, you reach someplace, you know where you're going.
That's interesting, because a lot of people say, like, you got to spend money to make money, which is one thing.
Yeah, you spend money on your business, mm-hmm. not on yourself. Okay, right. Why? Okay, you're spending money on yourself. What you get in return for it? What, another nice shirt? Mm-hmm. What is gonna give me another nice shirt? Another
date? Nice shirt, by the way. yeah, I mean, so that makes sense to me, but.
It's the same color like yours, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good match. All right, so let's change gears a little bit, and I'm curious, because I know what my friend who wants to start his own business, that I know that everything seems like an insurmountable hurdle. You know, his first customer seems like, where am I going to get him from? Then he gets his first customer, and then the questions, where do I get my second customer? You know, there's always that in the back of your mind, right? But besides the business generation aspect of it, what's the hardest part about running your own business?
The hardest part?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any hard part in it. I just be me, and if you feel comfortable with what you do, it's nothing is hard, you know? I'm gonna tell you, everybody can, this is, I have a conversation with a friend of mine, mm-hmm. about it. About to open a business, and everybody can open a business. Everybody can do the job. The hard part is to bring the job.
So this, that is the hardest part, is the lead generation.
To bring the job, this is the difficult stuff.
Okay.
To do the job, anyone, yeah, there is a lot of contractors, and also the most important thing is the quality of the job, mm-hmm. and how satisfied is your customer, because what you want to build, you want to build a reputation that your name is going to go ahead of you. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you will have like referrals, and then you don't need to spend money on advertising.
Right.
It's like what people do today, like in the internet, they have like the PPC, pay-per-click, the three ads that you have on the top. And then you have underneath it is the maps. And after this is the organic search, which is, they call it S. So people, what they do, they spend money on SEO,
search engine
optimization.
Yeah.
So with a pay-per-click, it's like immediate result. You put the money, you get leads. With the SEO, you put the money in, you're gonna spend the money for 6 months, 1 year, until you're gonna reach first page, but then you stay over there, and then you need to keep maintaining it. But it's gonna cost you way less than the pay-per-click, mm-hmm. compared to. But SEO, you know, it's a tricky game. Like, there is a lot of scams over there.
What's the quality of leads between SEO and pay-per-click? Do you get better leads out of SEO? Because I know when I'm searching on Google, it doesn't matter what I'm looking for. It doesn't matter if I'm going to WholeFoods.com. Whole Foods they pay for pay-per-click, so they, yes. have it up there. But I'll scroll down past the three PPCs and past the maps, and I'll click on the organic one. I don't know why I do it. I think it's like a screw you to Google, but like, is one better than the other?
No, you don't care. You don't think about it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You just think about it that you get the lead. So there is something like my budget is $100,000, okay? Mm-hmm. I put this $100,000. I don't care where I put it. It can be, I divide it. It's 50 pay per click, 50 SEO, 20 billboards or papers. But at the But if you set yourself a budget and you at the end of the year you see your revenue and your profit, it doesn't matter where the kids come from.
Mm-hmm.
You make your money. So sometimes it's hard to know where you got the referral or the leads from. But if you know, you ask the customer, like, hey, where did you find me? Like some people tell you, like, Google search.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Google search. Where it's in the Google search? It's there, like, top right. on the map or in the organic?
Right.
No, Google search, I don't know. Not a lot of people understand it. Like, when I told my mom, yes, hey, search carpet cleaning, search earth cleaning, and then I told her, you see, I'm there. She told me, wow, this is you over there. Amazing. You know, a lot of people don't realize it. It's like sometimes, like, it's so impressive and, like, I don't know, prestige is the right word.
Yeah, no, it is. I know.
Yeah.
I remember thinking that way before I was in a business where that worked. Advertising matters.
It's like, oh wow, oh, you're a big company.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of people. It really depends at the end of the time, like when people take the phone and give you a call, and the way that you answer your phone call, and like the way that you talk to them, then the customer actually feels it.
When do you get all the phone calls from
now? I get all the phone calls.
How do you answer the phone when you see a number that's probably a lead?
Actually, when I answer it, it's actually telling me which number they called. So it's telling me I have a couple of numbers for a couple of the services.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I have also a couple of websites. So he's telling me he called like to Cleanable, he called to Wood Floors, he called to this, and then I said, oh, which company is called? So okay,
mm-hmm.
I answer it accordingly.
Yeah, yeah. My dad used to run, this is a whole different podcast actually. My dad had a side business. He was a birthday party clown. Like,
what is it?
A clown.
A clown?
A clown,
okay.
That would go to birthdays, do
okay.
magic, do a show, do some tricks, make some shit float, like, yeah, you know, make things disappear. And it was our house phone, you know, it was an extra gig for just extra money to send the kids to Catholic school, right?
Yeah.
And he made all of us answer the telephone a very specific way. And if you didn't answer the phone the way Dad told you to, you didn't get to talk on the phone. So we had to say, when the phone rang, we'd say, it's a great day. How can I help you? And we hated it. Our friends laughed at us, you know, like we hated it. But looking back on that, when I call someone and they answer the phone, hello? Especially when it's a business, that's a way different. I'm automatically not enthused with having to talk to that person, but if they answer the phone like, hello, Cleanable Solutions, how can I, like, how are you today? You know, what?
When I open a conversation, I all the time say the company name.
Yeah.
All the time, immediately.
Do you smile when you say it too?
I smile all the time. You can see that. It's like I need to go and relax my cheeks.
Right on. Okay. So,
it's a lead. I'm smiling, it's a lead coming in.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's a genuine smile. All right. So if you weren't doing this, if you weren't running your own contracting business and all the other stuff that you have, which, by the way, if you want to tell everybody what those things are, feel free, but if you don't want to, whatever.
Yeah, I stick with what I know, what they know.
All right. So is there something you would, if you could start over, move to America again, have some money in the bank to start your own business, is there something you would rather be doing?
No, I like to be independent.
Yeah.
I'm independent like all my life. Like I'm the youngest out of four boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be a troublemaker, you know. Nobody can tell you what can I do, what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is where it's come from. And you know, it's like I'm coming, like my parents, they own like a trucking company back home.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, and like I see like as my dad is like my role model, like I want to be like my dad.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I want to be. My dad and my mom, they both of them work together. And this is like, they are my role models. Like they also instruct me in my business. Like when I talk to them over the phone, my mom yelling at me, why we do this, do that, do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like pushing me.
Do all your brothers own their own business too? Is this a family thing?
My two brothers work with my parents and another brother of mine, he's a chef.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Back in Israel?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Yes, we eat a lot.
Right on. So your business is all over the place. I mean, physically, different locations, but it's also, you know, every day is different, right? Different locations, different projects, different clients.
Yes,
different.
Yes. Like, for example, today, if you would know my route, it was crazy.
It was all over. You put
so
some miles
today, we are over here in the West Loop. I went to the North side to pick up some equipment, come back to the West Loop. And from the West Loop, I went to Hinsdale. And from Hinsdale, I went to Elk Grove. And from Elk Grove, I went to Glencoe. And from Glencoe, I went to Skokie. And from Skokie to Chicago. And from Chicago to Niles.
Yeah.
And then to Skokie. And then here.
That's crazy. And now here we are drinking some hard-earned wine.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Are there daily habits that you make that you allow yourself, or that you would attribute to being successful and sane?
It's like my number one rule: no matter what, you all the time visit the job site. It's not gonna be one day that you're not making sure that you're in the job site, or at least making sure with your technician that's, hey, what's going on? Everything is good. If you know something is about to happen or anything like that, hey, did you figure out? Everything's good. You need something? I call them like to my guys like at least 3-4 times a day. Hey, how's it going? Do you need something? Hey, how's it going? Do you need something? All the time. Just making sure.
And that's so you can talk to your clients and know.
I know every single time exactly what's going on in the job.
So that'll
it's
never
very
change.
Important. No, this is. You need to be in the business. If you're not in the business, if you're thinking to go have fun all the time, it doesn't work. You need to be in your business.
Yeah.
We work hard, you know?
Yeah. So every day you're checking up on every job site multiple times.
Yes.
What else? I mean, do you 100 push-ups in the morning? Do you?
I try to go to the gym at least every day.
Yeah.
Yes. Not like sometimes, you know, it's one time yes, one time no, one time why not?
Yeah. So what is there anything that you do every single day that like gets you ready for the day, you know?
Like what? I don't know. Refine your question.
Like, you know, like do you, I don't know, like what first thing I do when I wake up is I let my dog out and I go stand on the back porch and just like, hopefully the sun's up by then, but I just look at the sky for a little while and breathe. That's a newer thing I'm doing, but it really sets the day up well for me because I can think about what's important, remind myself, you know, what's important spiritually, mentally, you know, but also go over my day in my head for just 2 minutes, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I do some yoga, all right, and then I make tea. I've got a little routine that
so,
I do. Do you have something like that?
So not really, but I'm gonna relate to you with a tea thing because I'm a tea person in the morning. I'm not a coffee person.
Same. What kind of tea you drink?
I drink black tea that I bring from Israel.
Really?
But I add also like my mom's special spices into it. Like it's like give it a very good aroma.
What, yes. Do you drink it black or you put cream in it?
No, not cream. Obviously, cream is not.
It's a British thing. I learned how to drink tea from a British guy, so I like some.
No, not cream. So I put in it, it's like an amazing spice that actually it's a traditional. So we mix like ginger, mm-hmm. hell, clove, cornea, and cinnamon, and then you pound it, and then it's become to be like powder. And then you put this powder inside of your tea and like you get the aroma and like a little bit spicy from the ginger.
Dude, it sounds
it's
good.
It's like, it's very, very refreshing.
You gotta give me a little bit of that.
Yeah, for sure.
I like it. All right. So your daily habit is tea, if you had one.
I wake up in the morning. First of all, drink a bottle of water.
Mm-hmm.
And making my tea, going for my day. Look, and then I look at my schedule. You know, I need to go to see. I know which jobs I have going on, and I'm going for each job, or making a phone calls, or have meetings, or estimates. This is a daily regular routine. I don't know. It's like for me, it's normal. Maybe for somebody else, it's not.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. You read books? You're a reader? You got time to read?
No, I'm a music.
You're music.
Music. Music is like, go crazy. I like.
This is a, I like to ask people for two book recommendations, but now I want to ask you for two album recommendations.
Albums recommendations?
There's two albums you could say you have to listen to.
I don't, you know what? I'm not a fan of no one.
Yeah.
I don't have a musician that I follow, this musician. I have like my music, something that's nice to my ear. I will listen to it. My go music, it's a house music. It's electronic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I drive in my car. It can be like a quiet, deep house. And I don't like, I'm not a mainstream person. I all the time like to the side. I don't like this mainstream, like Britney Spears music or.
Yeah, me too.
No, I just electronic, because with electronic, you don't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you listen to this to the track like five times, you still surprised from it.
Yeah, you listen to it on different speakers and you hear a different song.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Is there, if there was a, so not to keep going back to books here, but if there were a book that you would recommend to someone starting their own business, is there something that you can say is like would put someone on the right track, or is there a, you know what?
I cannot tell you that because I don't read books.
Yeah.
I read something that if I want to know something, I read about it.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to know something about wood floors, I'm going to search the hell out of it. I'm supreme. Like the other day, I spent like $900 on a spray gun.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because
it's the best damn spray gun.
It's the best spray gun. And like my guys tell me, wow. I told them like how much I paid. They tell me, you're crazy. But tell them, how is the result? How is the quality? How is the, it's easier for you to use it. The jobs go faster.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is what I like. I like equipment. And if I want to know something, I read about it. Other than that, I don't really.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that works. What's your biggest struggle?
My biggest trouble?
Your biggest trouble, your biggest struggle. What's the hardest part for what you're doing right now? And how can someone help you with it?
You tricked me now. I don't know. I need to think about this answer for you.
Yeah?
My biggest trouble? I don't know. I'm all the time happy with what I have.
Is that, were you raised to be that way?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's like everything's for good. Everything for a good reason. This is, I break my arm, I break my nose, I break my leg, everything for good. I had an accident, somebody robbed my car the other day. What can I do? Thank God it's happened to me because they stole only two drills. Because if this is a new truck, and if I was loading it with all the equipment that I have, it could be way worse. So it's telling me like, what? You need to put the different locks on it. So I said, thank you.
Yeah. But you think that helps? Do you think that attitude's kind of helped you
all
along
the time,
your business?
All the time. Good. All the time. Be positive. All
Only
the time.
Focus on the positive.
Positive. What's going to help me if I'm going to be negative? To cry about it? Cry not going to help you.
Right. I like that.
Yeah, this is...
That's the name of this episode. Crying is not going to help.
It's also like, you know, it's like in our religion, you know, I'm Jewish, Israeli. And like in Israel, it's so stressful over there. It's like all the time, fast, fast, fast. You finish the school, you go to the army. After the army, they tell you, oh, you need to go to school. Everything is fast. And like we all the time in wars over there. So we all the time try to forget about it. So we go to restaurant and we say, okay, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. So this is, you know, this is kind of the way of life. Like we keep going. We don't get stuck behind.
Mm-hmm.
You must keep going forward all the time.
I like that. Yeah. So if you had to sum up this entire podcast in one sentence, you know, everything we've talked about today.
What is it?
If you had to sum this up, you know, if someone said, hey, you just recorded Get On My Lawn, what was it about in one sentence?
What is it about in one sentence?
Yeah.
Live your life the way you like it. And I think this is it. Live your life the way you like it.
Right on. Thank you very much, Ohad.
Yes, pleasure.
That was Ohad Ghibli of Cleanable Solutions, who I highly recommend if you have any work that needs to be done on a property around Chicago. Thanks a lot for spending some time with us, Ohad. If you'd like Ohad's contact information, know someone I should interview, or just want to say hello, please send me an email. getonmylawnpodcast@gmail.com. That's getonmylawnpodcast@gmail.com. I also need to say thank you to Alex Klein for the rad tunes we're listening to. Thanks, brother. Well, I hope it was an insightful episode and you learned as much as I did. I'm looking forward to you eavesdropping on me and my next guest, and also to hearing from you sometime. Until then, don't forget to smile. I'm Ben Klein, and I'll talk to you soon.